tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail and torn.
All these towns that sit my blood. your life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. Don't know why I have to drive so fast. My car has nothing to prove. It's not new, but it'll do 0 to 60 in 5.2. Can't be late, I leave in plenty of time. Shaking hands with the clock, I can't stop. I'm on a roll and ready to rock. Oh, I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I'm rushing, rushing till life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry. As I'm running behind, I better pick up my pace. It's a race and there ain't no room for someone in second place. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I'm rushing, rushing till life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know. Till life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why.
Welcome everyone to this week's Hope Show. Yet another week has gone by. Thank you all for tuning in to hear my message. It's an honor to have all of you with me. How many of you in my listening audience can relate to those last two songs that I played? How many of you feel like you're living in the fast lane of the highway? You feel as if you either keep up or you're going to get ran over. How many of you are always in a hurry to get things done? This month, each of my shows has tied in with each other in some way or another. The second week of January, we talked about New Year's resolutions and finding that one thing that you're going to remain focused on until you see it to the completion, and then we'll start on something else. That resolution could have been mending a broken relationship, finishing a project, setting a new goal for yourself, going back to school, making some career changes. It could be anything. The third week, we talked about time and utilizing it in a way that better suits you and your loved ones, making the most of the time that you have on this earth for the allotted amount of time that we have. This week, my message is going to be about standard of living versus quality of living. Today, we are going to break it down into dollars and cents. Dollars, we all know what that is. That's money. But cents, I'm not talking about the cents such as pennies. I'm talking about cents such as common sense, dollars and cents. A lot of people think that these two ways of living are one and the same. They aren't. They aren't the same at all. They may overlap in many areas of your life, but they have two very different definitions. A standard of living generally refers to the level of wealth, comfort, material possessions, and necessities that are available to us. Some of these examples are monthly income, quality and availability of employment, quality and affordability of housing, the number of hours a person must work in order to purchase all these things that they want, affordable access to quality of health care, the climate in which we live in, and the safety of our environment. These are just a few of the examples of what standard of living means. Standard of living is primarily based on income. However, on the other hand, quality of life is based more on how you spend your life. What do you spend your life doing? The quality of life that you live pertains to more so to your environment, physical and mental health, education, recreation, leisure time, and social belongings. Some examples of determining your quality of life are some things like freedom from bondage like slavery or torture, freedom from discrimination, freedom to move about. And I do understand, folks, that some of these things, some of us don't live from a freedom of discrimination. And some of us don't have some of those freedoms. But overall, when you think of the quality of life, this is what you think of. So let me go back. Some examples of determining a quality living are such things as freedom from bondage like slavery or torture, freedom from discrimination, freedom to move about wherever you please, freedom to live wherever one chooses to live, the right to marry the person of your choice, the right to have a family and decide the number of children that you will have or not have, the right to be treated equally, the right to your own privacy, freedom of thought and religion, the freedom to choose what job you want to apply for. And what about our right to vote? Freedom to choose our education. The right for our human dignity. The right to choose our times of rest and leisure. So as you can see, when you line these two definitions up side by side as I have just done, it becomes clear that one doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the other, though they do overlap in many ways. When people think of their standard of living, the first thing that oftentimes comes to mind is the amount of money a person brings home each month. If their income decreases, maybe due to a job loss or a cutback, some people think it's the end of the world. They automatically concur that they will lose their standard of living. This, of course, is purely selfish, folks, but we are all human. However, if you are able to secure another quality job in a reasonable amount of time, then you feel much better about your circumstances. The truth of the matter is, though, that even if you do have a financial cutback, your standard of living is still probably much better than some other person. You know, you just have to look around you, folks, and be blessed with what you have, because chances are you have so much more than the person around the corner. So we just need to stop complaining and be thankful for what we have. Count our blessings. There are other people who wish they were in our position. Similar to standard of living, what would be considered a quality life for one may not hold the same definition for another. So everybody's unique, you know. The bottom line is that the definition between the standard of living and the quality of living is that the standard of living is what they say is objective, and the quality of living is subjective. What does that mean? It means that standard of living, or objective, is something that one's efforts or actions are intended to attain or accomplish, such as a purpose or a goal in life. While the quality of living, subjective, means that each person is individual and it's based on what exists in your mind. Each person is quite unique with their own characteristics, their own moods, attitudes, opinions. So the quality of life is related to the condition of your body, soul, and mind. How many of you are still able to follow me? Have I lost any of you? I hope I haven't. Let me break it down as simple as I know how. Standard of living is all about having possessions and owning stuff and how much you have and how much you are intending to get. While the quality of life is all about keeping healthy, caring for yourself and the people around you, and not worrying about money and possessions. The ideal is to strike a perfect balance between the two. And in Luke 16, verse 13, the Bible tells us, "No servant can be the slave of two masters. Such a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or will be loyal to one and despise the other." You cannot serve both God and money. That's a pretty powerful statement, folks. Think about that for a moment. No servant can be the slave of two masters. Such a slave will either hate one and love the other, or will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot, and I repeat, cannot serve both God and money. What happens if you try to have it all? How many of you in my listening audience have found themselves at some point in your life, not necessarily right at this moment, but at some point in your life, trying to have it all? Well, fellow brothers and sisters, what happens is that you feel torn between the two. There is tension in your life. You can't put your all into both at the same time. It's just not feasibly possible. You start to feel guilty. There is a tug of war going on in your mind. Eventually, one of them, either God or money, is going to get the upper hand in your mind. For most people, the money wins the battle. Stuff, possessions, those become the chief competitor of our heart, not Satan. Stuff, possessions, material things. And when that happens, you find yourself locked into the American's insanity. But wait, it's not just a problem in America. It's a problem all over the world, though you probably see it most commonly in America. If this is the road you have chosen, let me ask you this. Do you know what you have done? Do you have any idea what you have just done? If money has gotten the upper hand in your mind, do you know what you have done? Do you know the ramifications of what you have set yourself up for? Let me tell you what you have just done. You have traded, borrowed, and spent your way right into slavery. You might be saying, what? You have traded, borrowed, and spent your way right into slavery. You may be asking yourself now, what does she mean? How does she figure that? How does she figure I've done that? Well, let me go on to further explain to you what I mean. It's a vicious cycle, folks, that you have placed yourself into. Perhaps along with your entire family now. Because there's always more than just you to think about. If you have a spouse or children or you know, maybe you don't have a family like that, but you maybe your brothers and sisters or your mother and father is living with you, or maybe a friend is living with you. You not only suck yourself into that vicious cycle, you suck everybody else into that vicious cycle that's under your roof with you. For you see, whatever happens to you doesn't just affect you. It affects everyone that you live with. It infests itself into the heart of your family. It takes over the life of your family. It takes on almost its own identity. What? You say? When your standard of living becomes more important to you than God and the quality of your own life, when possessions, objects, material stuff, when you allow that to drive you, when you allow your income to drive you, your ideal lifestyle, that drives you to spend more. You are bought into financial slavery. You become the debtor, someone who is in debt or under financial obligation. And the creditors, the bankers, the credit card companies, they love you. The more you spend, the more they love you. The more it lines their pockets. It's a vicious, vicious, vicious cycle. And then the creditors and the bankers and the credit card companies, they become your master. Yes, they own you. They become your master. You will find that your finances are running your life. You will begin to feel the pressures mounting of keeping it all together, keeping the payments made, keeping a job to keep it all together. You will worry all the time, make yourself physically sick. You will be stressed out all the time, suffering from such things as headaches, high blood pressure, anxiety attacks, heart problems, you name it. There's a whole slew of things that come along with being worried and stressed out all the time. People start blaming everyone else around them for the situation that they find themselves in. Your relationships suffer. You find yourself arguing over money all the time. You wake up one morning and you realize that you sold your soul to the devil. You wake up one morning finding that you sold out your family, your relationships. Emotionally and physically, you're depleted. You have nothing more to give. You're depleted. And yet you're stuck in that cycle of slavery. The creditors own you. And even if you wanted to get out, at that moment, you're so in debt to your eyeballs that you couldn't get out if you wanted to. But in your mind, you can't stop the insanity. You can't get off the treadmill of life. You can't slow down. Folks, the world's view of success, happiness, standard of living, and quality of living have become so distorted. It's a make it or break it world we live in. It's a world that measures such things by the amount of financial gain in our life. Folks, is that honestly how you want to spend the rest of your life? Honestly, take a long, hard, close look at your life right now, in this moment. What kind of life would you say that you're living right now? Now I ask you, please be honest with yourself once again. Are you really happy with where you are in your life right now? Are you trying to serve two masters, God and money? Have you found your balance in life? Are you still on that treadmill? Or have you come to your senses and decided to get off that crazy contraption? If you have made that decision to jump off the treadmill, I commend you for your courage, your bravery, for taking that leap of faith. I know it's scary. It's scary when you're used to one thing. It's all you know to do. So I commend you for your courage, your bravery, taking that leap of faith, for choosing to have a better quality of life for yourself and your family. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break right here, and I'll be right back after these songs.
Wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge. Today, the light bulb's getting dim. There's meltdown in the sky. If you can judge a wise man by the color of his skin, Mister, you're a better man than I. Complete.
back after that short break. Thank you for joining me today. If you are just tuning in, we are talking about standard of living versus quality of living. And we're talking about that here on the Hope Show today. It's amazing to think of the number of people in this world that consider these two lifestyles to be one and the same. Today, I have been breaking it down in terms of dollars and cents. Dollars, as we know, is money. But cents, I'm not talking about cents as in pennies, but cents as in common sense. These lifestyles may overlap one another in certain areas of our life, but they have two very different definitions. But the short version of this is that the bottom line, the standard of living, is all about having possessions and owning stuff and how much you already have and how much more you are planning to get. While the quality of life is all about keeping healthy, caring for yourself and the people around you, and not worrying about money and possessions. I chose these two very different contrasting songs to play on my break for a reason. I wanted to get you to thinking. When you listened to the first song by Aerosmith, you hear almost a sense of urgency, a sense of stressful insanity almost. To quote my husband Shaziz, it's like falling over a hill in a grocery cart. You don't have any control of that. Then you listen to the song by Hillsong, and you feel just the opposite. You feel a sense of calm, joy, peace, and well-being. When you listen to these two different songs, which one can you most relate to? Are you the out-of-control person in the grocery cart, flying down the hill without brakes? Or are you just kicking back in life, along for the journey? I wager to bet that most people in the world are in the grocery cart. And with that crazy thought, isn't it a miracle that we don't all crash into one another? I want to go ahead and take a moment to remind everyone that if you are just tuning into my show, a podcast will be uploaded after the show on my podcast page at www.shazizradio.com. That way, if you miss any part of today's message, you can get on my podcast page about 2 to 3 hours after the show is aired, and you can listen to the entire message at your convenience. Please, I encourage you to tell all your friends about the Hope Show. Let them know that I am live on air each Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Central Time. Invite them to join you and give them the link to my podcast page, and they can listen to the previous shows on their own as well. The last 20 or 30 minutes of today's show, I will be opening the Skype lines up if anyone would like to call in and visit with Shaziz and I. If you would like to call in when it is time, please Skype us via Shaziz's Skype address. Folks, we have been deceived our whole lives. Have you ever thought about that? We have been deceived our whole lives. Somewhere in our life, we have gotten the idea that money makes the world go round. We think that money can buy us happiness, or buy us into heaven, or buy us love. But I'm here to tell you straight up, that is not how life works. There is a very big difference between standard of living and quality of living. Most people also believe that if you raise your standard of living, that you will have a better quality of living. That is not true. That is a lie, folks. It's a lie that we've picked up somewhere in our lifetime. Let me ask you to think back to a time in your life when you had less. You were doing just fine, weren't you? You may not have had everything you wanted, but you probably had everything that you needed. More isn't always better, folks. More isn't always better. Folks, right now, We are only living on a fraction, all of us out there, all over the world. We are only living on a fraction of our monthly income. And why do I say that? Well, let's think about all people owe. How many people do you owe? List all those creditors in your head. How many credit cards do you own? And what kind of credit limit do you have on each of those? How much do you pay for rent or mortgage, food, hygiene, paying for little Susie's gym class, clothes, gas for your vehicles, maintenance on your vehicle, and so on and so forth? What are your payments on your cars, your trucks, RVs, motorboats, motorcycles, four-wheelers, golf carts, airplanes? The list goes on and on. All those nice, nifty toys cost money, and a lot of it. So after you figure out what your net pay is for the month, and then you subtract the cost of all your bills, what do you have left? I can't answer that. Only you know that. But after all that is said and done, after you get your net pay and your check, and then you pay all your bills, what's left over? If you are smart, there will be a 5 to 20% margin between your income and your spending. Hopefully, you will have something left over for recreation, leisure, an emergency fund. There are a lot of people in this world living beyond their means, living paycheck to paycheck, tapped out credit-wise, borrowing from Peter to pay Paul, using payday loans to try to solve other financial issues as they arise, taking on 2 and 3 jobs to make ends meet, never seeing their families because of their crazy work schedule. God forbid these people should lose their job or experience a tragedy that may have to, you know, cause them to be on medical leave, or they catch the flu and have to miss 3 or 4 days of work. Holy cow, can you imagine the disaster that all that would create? These things can mean devastation and financial ruin for some folks. What do you think is most important in your life? What do you think is the most important in your life? Is it your standard of living, or is it your quality of life? Where are your priorities set right now? I can't tell you how to live your life. I can't say what is right or wrong for you. We are all on our own personal journey. My job is not to tell you what to do or tell you that you're not going about it the right way. It's not to tell you that you're wrong. My job is to open your mind to opportunities, to new ways of thinking, to let you know that you have options, that if where you are at in your life isn't where you're happy, then you do have options. You don't have to stay there forever. There are options. But what happens if you're married to someone or merely dating someone who places a high value on standard of living and you don't agree? That's a tricky one. That's a tough question to answer. First of all, when you meet someone and you're going through that stage of getting to know the other person, these are some of the things that you need to be discussing. For some people, the difference in values are too different, too unacceptable, and you might have to call off the relationship. Yet for other people, they know there are vast differences of opinion and values, but they love that other person so much that they're willing to risk it all just to be with their loved one, just to find out later that was probably not a good plan. I'm sure that most all of my listening audience has been in one or more of these situations that I've been talking about throughout my message, and that they can relate to one or more things I have said today in my show. What advice would you give someone in that same situation right now? At the end of today's show, I'm looking forward to all of your call-ins. I want to hear some advice from my listeners. I want to hear some of your real-life stories if you're willing to share them. It's always great to hear a different perspective. It's always great to hear someone talk about an experience that they had in their life. It's great to get a different opinion, a different view on things. It's great to know that we are not alone in the situations we face or that we have faced. It's nice to know that someone has been there, done that, and what they did to get through it. My show, The Hope Show, is about keeping it real, folks. Keeping it real. Getting back to today's topic, though, have you or your spouse ever said, "If only I or we made more money, we would be just fine"? Didn't you say the same thing when you made less? What would change if you did make more? Would you not be saying the same thing again, as your spending would once again increase? The answer to your solution isn't making more money. It's about cutting your spending and managing what you have better. You cannot expect big changes in your life when you think that standard of living and quality of living are the same thing. Folks, as I have repeated on many, many occasions and will probably repeat many, many more times to come, I am sure, I am not trying to force my beliefs on anyone. I respect the non-believer and love them just as much as I love and respect the believer. Before my eyes, we are all brothers and sisters. I see not one of you any different than the other. I love each and every one of you equally. My Hope Show is a place, a safe refuge, a common ground for everyone. No matter your religion or lack thereof, no matter what status, what education, what color you are, those things mean nothing to me. When I see the people in this world, I don't see their external appearance. I see their heart. That is what matters the most to me. I don't care how much money you make, what kind of clothes you have on, whether you are dirty or clean, educated or non-educated. I don't care if you're ill or healthy. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want you ill. I want you healthy. But I'm just saying, as far as if that makes me see you any differently, it does not. It doesn't matter to me whether you're handicapped or not, bad grammar, or if you have expert grammar, short or tall, obese or thin, I don't care what your past is. I see you. I see your heart. And trust me when I tell you, I have experienced many judgmental, critical people in my own life. And I know what that feels like. I have been on both sides of the fence. Poverty, and doing pretty well for myself. And I can tell you, it's not fun being on the bottom. And I am going to be, I'm the last person on this earth that is going to judge you no matter where you are in life. Because I've been there, and I know how that feels. And the Hope Show is your home. Your home away from home, folks. But with that said, I want to share something with you that I read earlier this week. This talks about idols. And it's talking about, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Micah from the Bible. If I didn't say that correctly, I apologize. But it is a wonderful, true-to-life story that bears witness to share with you, and it relates to modern day. So here it is. Micah made idols and hired a priest to run his personal religion. When the men of Dan took his idols and priests, nothing remained. What an empty spiritual condition. An idol is anything that takes God's place in a person's life. Some people invest all their energy pursuing money, success, possessions, or career. If these idols are taken away, only an empty shell is left. The only way to protect yourself against such loss is to invest your life in the living God, whom you can never lose. The people had to decide whether they would obey the Lord, who had proven his trustworthiness, or obey the local gods, which were only homemade idols. It's easy to slip into a quiet rebellion, going about life in your own way. But the time comes when you have to choose who or what will control you. The choice is yours. Will it be God, your own limited personality, or another imperfect substitute? Wow. That's some pretty powerful stuff, don't you think, folks? I can tell you one thing. If you live a lifestyle that cuts back on spending and perhaps give you a 5 to 20% margin between your income and your spending, you will get along better with your friends and your loved ones. You will be less stressed out, less worried all the time. You're going to be so much happier, so much more at peace, so much more generous of your time and things. You're going to experience calm, and you will experience a better health. The doors of opportunities will be wide open for you. You will feel so, so much better when you don't have such a financial burden on your shoulders. Now the question is, what are you going to do with all the information I have given you today? Are you going to take any heed of what I've said at all? Are you going to just dismiss me as being some crazy lady on the radio? Are you going to be able to relate to what I have said? Are you going to understand what I said and think it sounds good in theory, but you just can't implement it into your lifestyle? Are you going to see yourself as the one in the grocery cart going out of control, plummeting over the hill, and decide that that is just absolutely crazy? There has to be more to life than all of that insanity. Folks, right now, decide to take a leap of faith today and jump out of that grocery cart. Well, maybe tipping it over would be less painful. But get out of the spiraling, careening grocery cart. You know what I mean, though, folks. Make that decision today to start living a quality life and not just according to self-made idea of a standard of living for yourself. Decide what has been working for you and decide what has been working against you. Let those gates of opportunity be flung wide open for you to explore a whole new world, a better world, that is just waiting for you right now. Get rid of the things that no longer serve any purpose for you. Don't look back. Don't second guess yourself. Stay focused on front and forward. Front and forward, folks. One foot in front of the other. Yesterday is your past, and you don't live there. You are free from your past. You are free from yesterday. You don't live there anymore. Today is a gift. Tomorrow, a whole world of opportunity and wholesome living waiting just for you. Take it. Take what is offered. a quality of life like you have never dreamt of before. It can be yours. It's never too late to make a new choice. It's never too late to stop in your tracks and say, let me off of this path. This isn't the right one for me anymore. You just have to decide what you're going to let control you and what you're going to take control back. The things that you are going to decide to control. The thing is, it's not going to happen until you get so mad, so angry, so fed up, so aggravated, so exhausted with your current circumstance to want these changes so bad, no matter what. You can taste the changes. You can feel the changes. That is when you're going to want the change bad enough to do something about it and not a moment sooner. I'm going to go ahead and take another short break here before moving right along with today's message on standard of living versus quality of living. Hope you enjoy these songs, folks, and I'll be back momentarily.
I'm torn between myself and your truth. These cursed memories forever seeping through. Oh, my thirst for myself left me wanting more. Till I found myself face down on your shore. You said, come to the river. No more. My restless heart, oh, led me astray. To my selfish pride, I became my own slave. But you placed a thirst in me with no drink inside.
give the heavens above more than just a passing glance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you do. Small when you stand beside the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Welcome back to the Hope Show. I hope everyone is enjoying today's message, and I want to thank all of you out there for joining me on this wonderful Saturday. If you are just tuning in, I have been talking about standard of living versus quality of living. Yes, they are two very different things, even though one can overlap into the other in certain areas of our lives. It's amazing to think of the number of people in this world that consider these two lifestyles to be one and the same. But to be perfectly clear about the differences of the two, the short version of this definition is this. Standard of living is all about having possessions and owning stuff and how much you already have and how much more you are planning to get. While the quality of life is all about keeping healthy, caring for yourself, and the people around you, and not worrying about money and possessions. I've spent a great deal of time on my message today talking about the standard of living, but now I want to spend the rest of this time emphasizing on quality of living. In my research for this week's message, I determined that standard of living is objective. Something that one's efforts or actions are intended to attain or accomplish, such as a purpose or a goal in life. While quality of living, subjective, means that each person is individual, and it is based on what exists in our mind. Each person is quite unique with their own characteristics, their own moods, attitudes, opinions. So the quality of life is related to the condition of your body, mind, and soul. Before I go any further, I do want to remind all of you that you can find the pod for this show on my podcast page 2 to 3 hours after the show is aired today on www.shazizradio.com. Please invite all your friends over to Shaziz Radio and check that out. Coming up very shortly, I will be opening up the show for call-ins. So I want to invite all of you to call in and chat with Shaziz and I. I will give you the cue when that time gets here. So continuing on with today's show, I'm going to quote something from Martin Luther King. He says, "The quality, not the longevity, of one's life is what is important." How true is that? How many of you agree with that? I do know one thing. The happiness of your life depends upon the quality of your thoughts. Therefore, we must all guard our thoughts and not entertain unsuitable notions. Keep in mind that quality of life has a lot to do with the mind, with staying mentally, spiritually, and emotionally healthy. Where your mind goes, your body will surely follow. So with that said, I believe that if our mind stays positive, then it will also improve our bodies physically, too. Quality of life is all about finding that happy balance between work, friends, and family. If you care to take it a step further, in reality, it's the quality of the moment, not the number of days or the number of events in our life. Don't take one moment for granted. It's all these little moments that make up our life. Another thing to consider is this: the way we communicate with each other and with ourselves also determine the quality of our life. Think about that for a moment. How do we speak to the people around us? How do we speak to ourselves in our quiet moments? It matters. It matters for the quality of our life, how we treat each other and how we treat others. True happiness is an inner quality. It is a state of mind. If your mind is at peace, you are happy. If your mind is at peace and you have nothing at all, you are still happy. But if you have everything the world can give you, pleasure, possessions, power, and you lack peace of mind, you will never be happy. And it will have a negative impact on the quality of your life. Tell me, how do you perceive your own quality of life as we speak? Are you okay with your life as it is? Or are there things you wish you could change? Folks, you can change anything your heart desires. You just have to forget about trying to impress people. You have to forget about what other people think of your decision. Forget what you've been taught, like a better standard of living will give you a better quality of life. That's a lie. It's been taught certain things, or you've been taught certain things and certain ways of doing things throughout your life. But that does not necessarily mean that you have been taught the right things, the most important things. Let me share something with you. When I was growing up on the farm as a little girl, I aspired to bigger dreams when I graduated high school. I wished I had this or that. I always compared my childhood to the other children I grew up around and went to school with. I thought I had received the short end of the stick, to be quite honest, as a kid. I was determined once I graduated high school that I was going to make something of my life. And it wasn't going to have anything to do with farming. I married my childhood sweetheart 2 weeks after I graduated high school. I moved about 4 hours away from the family farm. For several years, my visits were few. I went back to visit from time to time, but money was short for traveling, and I really liked the freedom that I had in the city. I was always dreaming of more. I thought more was better. I too got caught up in that trap. The green pastures on the other side always looked so much greener than on my own side of the fence. Things didn't work out where we were living at the time. We moved a little closer to my folks, but was still caught up in the city life. Still, visits to the country were few. I ended up in divorce. I met my second husband. Still found myself caught up in the whirlwind of city society. By this time, I had worked my way up toward my dream career. Everything was going great. I had managed well for myself. I was on my third ownership of a brand new custom-built home. It was the fanciest house I had ever owned, and I was so proud of all of my accomplishments. Just like my car, I kept trading up for newer and nicer homes. I was in debt up to my eyeballs. I was working long hours, but I was living the American dream. By all outward appearances, we were your typical happy family with children, the beautiful home, the white picket fence, one dog, one cat, nice cars, money for entertainment, and all kinds of things. Everything was going beautifully, as planned. But on the inside, I was still unhappy. Why? Why? I would ask myself. I was living the dream. We had money to go on camping trips and vacations and sightseeing adventures. We had money to dine out, you name it. I had everything I had always wanted and was still moving forward to bigger and better things, still climbing that corporate ladder. I felt unstoppable. I felt invincible. I felt like what could possibly go wrong? And yet, I still wasn't happy with certain aspects of my life. I never seemed to be able to find that key thing that would make it all better. I was still comparing myself to everyone else and what they had. I still was looking over on the other side of the pasture, thinking, if I only had a little bit more, then I would be happy. Does any of this sound familiar in today's message, folks? Let me tell you, I was in for a rude, rude awakening. Somewhere from the time I was born to the current place in my life, perhaps in my mid-30s, I had grown prideful, thinking I was so much better than everyone else. I had a look at me, look at me, look at what I have attitude. I don't know if it was that obvious on the outside, and I pray to God that it wasn't. But that was certainly how I felt on the inside. I became too cocky, and the good Lord slammed on the brakes in my life. I kid you not, slammed on the brakes in my life. My life, folks, came to a screeching fast halt. Everything I worked so hard to achieve came crumbling down into rubble and ashes at my feet. I lost everything I had worked so hard for. You really find out who your friends are when you hit rock bottom. I lost friends. I lost that career I had worked so hard for 15 years. I lost family. I lost that beautiful home. I lost my cars. You name it. I lost it. I found myself with no income, no place to live, with no money for food, no transportation, my daughter living over with her dad while I was trying to find a safe place to reestablish my life and get back on my feet again. Then, just when I thought things couldn't possibly get any worse. I was drawn into a relationship with an abusive man. I moved in with him to have a place to stay, a roof over my head, food in my belly, shared transportation. He provided all the necessities that I could not provide for myself at that time or my daughter. It was a far cry from the standard of living that I was used to. To describe those conditions that I lived in would be probably best described as the slums. Better than a box or a trash can, but very, very low on the poverty scale. It wasn't even a very clean environment. That was just the icing on the cake. Or maybe it was my justice dessert for being such a fool. For 3 long years, I felt that it was what I deserved for the choices that I made. Eventually, I found work. I found 3 jobs, to be exact. I found a couple of nicer places to live. He moved in with me at that time. I finally was able to take care of myself and my daughter again. I was stable and established. I found transportation for myself. I climbed back up out of that hole, climbed up out of the rubble. But yet I stayed in that abusive relationship for 3 very long years because I felt I deserved it. I believe now I was punishing myself. I punished myself way worse than the courts ever could have. And I had sentenced myself to life without parole. It hasn't been but just in the past perhaps 3 years that I have been able to release myself from my prison and move on. Leave it behind. Leave it in the past. Now, I am married to an amazing man, have been with him for over 11 years. We are not financially rich by any standard. We don't have the best of everything. But I am rich in all the ways that truly matter. I am in love with the best man ever. I have all my needs taken care of. I have laughter. I have peace at last. Peace in my heart. And joy in my life. I don't live the standard of life that I did 20 years ago, 10 years ago. But you know, I don't really miss it. There was a lot of stress involved. And believe me, I was short on peace and joy in my heart. And I spent a lot of days cranky and stressed out, having anxiety attacks. Due to the fact that God so graciously opened some doors for us a few years back, we are both now retired and can enjoy our life. I am happy. I am satisfied. I have everything I need. I have my health. I have a wonderful family. Our income is sufficient. We have worked hard over the years to finally say we have very little debt. And we are working toward accomplishing our goal of having no debt, which should occur before too long. We pay everything in cash when possible. If we don't have the cash, then obviously either we don't need it or we save to get it. No matter what, Shaziz and I have made a pact a long time ago with one another. We do not go back into further debt where we were at when we first met. Our income to spending has some breathing room. When I met Shaziz, I finally realized why it never worked out with any other relationship. You know, I know that may sound cheesy or lame to some folks, but when you find that one person, you just know. You just know. It's right. It's true. And you finally know, without a shadow of a doubt, why it never worked in any of your previous relationships. I am so grateful for what I have, and I appreciate everything I have with so much thanksgiving in my heart, folks. I no longer look over the fence and compare myself to what is on the other side. When I look over the fence now, I'm waving at my neighbor. Hi, how you doing? How's things over there? Good? Yeah, me too. Life's great. I'm not looking over that fence anymore, comparing myself to what that other person has. I am content. Praise God! I am content. At last, I am satisfied. I am at peace. I don't have that debt looming over my head like some of you out there. And I am not, you know, I would love, as I've mentioned in some of my other shows, I would love to do more traveling. I would love to have a big, huge touring bike, motorcycle. But do I need it? Absolutely not. If that means putting us further into debt, no thank you. Our income to spending has breathing room finally. God has been by my side from the day that I was born. God is faithful. God is so good, folks. He has been so gracious, so forgiving, so loving, so patient with me, so merciful to me. He loved me when I was the most unlovable, and He never left my side. Like the Footprints poem that I'm sure most of you are familiar with, the times I only saw one set of footprints and I cried out and I thought for sure that God had forsaken me, those were the times when God carried me in His loving arms when I was too weary to carry myself. Fellow brothers and sisters, I share this with you because I don't want you making the same mistakes I made in my life. Don't travel the hard road and find out these things, these life lessons, the hard way years later like I did. I wandered around in the wilderness for so many years, wasting so much time, so much of my life, when I could have been enjoying the quality of life I enjoy today all along. I was too stubborn to listen to anyone. Back in the day, I thought I knew it all. Life has banged me around a little. Perhaps that's a bit of an understatement. But it didn't have to be that way, folks. I made my choices. No one held a gun to my head. That was the path that I chose to take. But I am so grateful for my life. For the life lessons, because if I hadn't experienced all those trials and tribulations that I did, I would not be the person that I am today, and I would not be able to sit here at this radio show and share my life experiences with you and say, please, 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 folks, learn from what I tell you. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. I can save you a lot of time and effort, a lot of trouble. Just listen to me. But yet I am grateful for those times as well. I wouldn't be as strong or wise about certain things pertaining to life. Chances are very high that I wouldn't even have a hope show, that I wouldn't be trying to make a difference in this world and sharing my testimonies with others, trying to turn people in the right direction and trying to steer them away from the destruction in their own life. I feel as if I have become a beacon for all of you out there in my listening audience. My hope show, I hope, is a guiding light for all of you. So please, 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 take my messages each week seriously. Take them to heart. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. Find hope. Know that you are loved so much, and know that you are not the only one in that debt boat. Know that you are not the only one that is or has been a slave to money. I feel compassion for all of you and the circumstances that you find yourselves in. I want you to be happy and healthy people. Fellow brothers and sisters, please stop and think about what you're doing with your life. Think about what your standard of living is right now. Now, think about the quality of life you are living. Based on the definitions that I have given you, standard of living is all about having possessions and owning stuff, how much you already have and how much you are planning to get, while the quality of life is all about keeping health, caring for yourself and the people around you, and not worrying about the money or the possessions. What is your driving force? Do you stake more claim on possessions and income, or do you stake more claim on keeping yourself healthy and happy? Only you can answer that. Is what you are doing making you happy? Is it serving a purpose in your life? Is it having a positive impact on your life? Are you at peace? Do you have joy and thanksgiving in your heart? How is your health? These are all very important things to consider for your life. What is the most important to you? Will you decide that your standard of living is more important than your quality of living? If this is your final decision, will you always live a life in financial slavery? Always a master to your money? If you don't believe so, then think about what I have just said to you. In the long days and weeks, months and years that stretch before you, and you're just living to pay things off, will you make changes? Try to find a healthy balance between the two. That's a wonderful place to start. I pray that you will find that balance. If you decided that your crazy, out-of-control lifestyle no longer is worth the drama, the stress, the worries, the physical health problems, then praise God. Praise God, you have been enlightened. You finally get it. I'm going to go ahead and take another short break and play you this really quick song. It'll be about 4 minutes. And after this song, it will be time to call in to the Hope Show and share with us what is on your mind. So please, after this song, it's about 4 minutes, be thinking about what you want to share with the audience, with the world. Maybe share an experience that you've had in your life. Because this show is about keeping it real, folks. And I'm all about helping all of you out there in this world. So stay tuned after this song, and please call in.
Sneaking little feeling something's wrong with the world. they got the answer. They got the ties, got the taxes, but they can't cure the cancer, 'cause it runs in the blood and it goes to the bone. Something's wrong with the world and we just keep passing it on. Something's wrong with the world. It's a jungle out there. Better lock all your doors. Better say all your prayers. Better tell all your daughters. Better warn all your sons. Something's wrong with the world. Something's gotta be done. Now you can blame it on Darwin. Blame Adam and Eve. Blame what's wrong with the world on what somebody believes. Blame the devil below. Blame the Lord up above.
Serious problem. We got a war we can't win.
There's a skull and a crossbow and a flag that's unfurled, but you can't drop a bomb on what's wrong with the world. Something's wrong with the world. It's out of control. Something's wrong with the world. It's sick to the soul. The doctor can't help it. It's a deadly disease. Something's wrong with the world. Have mercy, please. Something's wrong with the world. Nowhere to run, there ain't nowhere to hide from the man with the gun. It's a dangerous ride on this whole tilted world. Can we get out alive? Something's wrong with the world.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm very happy you've joined me today on The Hope Show. It's time for all of you to call in and share your experiences with us and whatever's on your mind. I have Shaziz here with me. Would you like to say something about today's show?
Who wants to get in the grocery cart with me and Beverly and go down the hill, the side of a mountain with some helmets and pads and stuff on?
Woo!
No takers?
I'm going to be the one with the buckle on, though.
Yeah, well, you get right up front.
That's what he thinks.
Yeah, it's a pretty fascinating subject you got going on. When you talk about the quality of life, you could spend your time as a father out there working your butt to the bone and just keep on working real hard trying to build yourself a mansion and a castle or whatever and make your life what you think it needs to be as far as to live a comfortable life. But in the process of doing that, you're going to end up with some regrets at the end. Like, for example, there's times I wished I would have took the extra time to play a few games with my kids, you know. Not that I didn't spend some time with them, but I could have probably spent a few more bits of time with them, if you know what I mean. But you don't want to end up with your life being a regret at the end. You want to know that you lived a fruitful and a really full life. And so I think this message that Beverly's got is something you might want to take to heart.
Thank you, Shaziz. It is definitely food for thought, folks. So many of us out there spend our lives on that treadmill just going round and round, and for what? Really?
Yeah, because the simple life to me is the best life. I mean, it's amazing whenever you can't afford caviar how good a peanut butter sandwich tastes.
Well, and you know, Shaziz and I could share an experience too. Some of you may be able to relate to this subject, but back when we got married, we decided, you know, we wanted to do something memorable, and it was a little expensive, but you know, it's kind of a once in a lifetime thing, and so we went ahead and splurged a little bit for our honeymoon, and we decided to go up to Kansas City, Missouri, and they have a restaurant that's like 39 stories in the air or something like that.
It spins,
it's crazy.
Around a circle.
And we spent the night at the Hyatt Regency. And do you remember what the name of that restaurant was?
The Hyatt, I think.
Yeah, I believe it was. I think it was because it was all tied in together. But
either way, rich people eat nasty food.
Yeah, and their portions aren't very big either.
Yeah.
We got up there to the restaurant, you know, and Shaziz and I are pretty thrifty about certain things. And so these meals were probably half of a month's groceries bill, but
yeah.
Anyway, we splurged a little bit, and the portions were pretty small.
A piece of toast for $7.
And we both decided that my home-cooked meal that night probably would have been a little more desirable to our taste buds.
Yeah. And
so more is not always better.
Their wine's nasty, too. But it was fun. It was an experience. And, you know, we didn't worry about the whole being not rich thing. We just went in there and then had a good time. And, you know, we splurged, like she said. But that's not something we do normally because we can get by on a little. And just about everybody else out there knows that they can do the same.
Exactly right. You know, like I said in my show, I mean, I'm sure each and every one of us out there can think of a time whenever we made less income than we currently do. And even at that lesser income, everybody, you know, generally thinks, oh, if I only had a little more, if I only had a little more. But, you know, when you think back to that income that you had earlier, you did all right. You met your needs, you know, for the most part. You know, you may not have been where you wanted to be, but you were where you needed to be at that time. And so it is possible to live on less than what you currently make.
Sometimes a fishing pole by the lake sitting in an old lawn chair could be a lot more appealing than going to some fancy restaurant or some fancy movie, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's the quality of life. It's time well spent. It's those moments, those little moments, that really add up to the big thing, the big picture.
And that we got lost at the motel too. That was pretty cool. We rode up and down on the elevator and come out on the wrong floor many times.
And we have a caller. Here's Cultus with us.
Wrong.
Oops. I always get those buttons mixed up.
All right.
Well, you got the right one. Here I am.
Yeah. She started the video, too. We don't need
that. Oh, I can see the roof.
All right. Hey, how you doing there, brother?
Pretty good, brother. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good.
How you doing?
Wait, you been listening in on the show?
I have.
So what do you think about the simple life?
The simple life is a very good life.
Yeah, kick your feet up behind a shade tree and just enjoy nature. I mean, you know,
yeah.
That don't cost anything.
You know, just, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, just because you've got money doesn't mean you got to live like it.
That's right.
And if you've got money, you can be a lot more constructive than taking care of number one.
That's
yeah,
true.
I
very
agree.
True.
You know, like,
and I'm pretty sure I know somebody who's been doing a few bits of that.
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to say. You know, like, we know that recently I ran into a little bit of money, and that's exactly what I've been doing with it. I've just been giving the stuff away, like, yeah, have this, have that.
That's awesome, though. I mean, and that's where your true blessings, you know, come in, too, is whenever you share with other people. It's not all about saving it for ourselves all the time.
Well, I've had a few bucks in my time, and I got to say that I feel a lot more at home and relaxed when I got to, you know, watch my pennies a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually more fun to give than to receive.
It is.
Yeah, that sounds crazy, but, you know, that's fact.
No, it is. It's a real buzz to watch people, like, burst out with happiness and cry in front of you because, you know, no one's ever been this nice before, and it's like, well, you know, it's okay. People should be this nice, so don't, you know, don't fret over it, you know. This is how the world should work. We should, you know, you see a brother in need, help them if you can. Simple as that. There's no question about it. Like, you know, if someone needs something and they're going to suffer without it and you can afford to give it to them, give it to them. Simple as that. It's
exactly.
Not rocket science.
Exactly. I shared a story on, I think it was the Knights, not too long back, about a trip that I took up to California. And to make a long story short, I was looking for my biological father, and I ran to a dead end at a little tiny house, and this house couldn't have been much larger than my garage, you know. And there was a single lady living there with a young boy, and it was raining outside, and the little boy come out there and asked us if we wanted to come in and wait for a while until we could make a phone call or whatever. And so we did. We went inside, and they cooked us up some fried potatoes, and, you know, they didn't have much, but what they did have, they were willing to share. And to me, you know, that was probably the best meal I ever ate. I mean, with real people, real hearts, and just giving, you know, even when they didn't have it to give.
But they've probably already learned that the more you give without expectation, the more you receive.
Exactly.
See? They're comfortable. They've got love. They've got a roof over their head. And they've got food in their belly. You know, really, at the end of the day, what more do you need? You don't need some 42-bedroom house with 96 bathrooms and 27 lounge rooms.
And two people living there.
exactly my point, babe. Yeah. You know, who needs that?
And a dozen maids and servants.
And there's you know, half a million, you know, a few million people homeless while you've got that house all to yourself, you greedy, selfish person.
I'd have to say.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'd have to say.
What's going on there?
If I were rich, my maids and my servants would have to be sitting down at the table eating the same meal that I'm eating at the same time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because they'd be for sure, mate. They wouldn't be
maids or servants; they'd be friends.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think you would be able in yourself to be able to have servants.
Well, you understand where I'm coming from. I mean,
but I know you too well to know that that's a scenario that could never happen.
I would be serving them, and then still them serving me.
They'd be guests in the house.
Hey, you'd be like, you'd be a gracious host to them rather than, you know, bossing them around and telling them what to do.
They would love that job.
Oh yeah.
Because I feel like we're supposed to be servants to one another and caretakers of all the land and animals and all that kind of stuff. We're supposed to be taking care of each other. That's what I believe in my heart. And so, you know, anything you can do to better the lives of your brothers and sisters out there in the world, that's where it goes. And no man should be above another, you know.
And, you know, I just wish and I just pray so hard for all those people out there who have their priorities mixed up, you know, that I so want them to get that, you know, that they can live on less. They can live a less stressed out life, you know, that it doesn't have to be like that.
Yep, there's a whole lot to be said for just enjoying the things that you do have and counting your blessings and basically going out there and, you know, kick your shoes off in the grass and take a look at nature. Nature has a whole lot to offer.
Yep. Beautiful, wonderful world we live in if you just kick back, open your eyes to the beauty that surrounds you.
Yeah, if only we can get the knuckleheads out there that are tearing it all up to, you know, think the same way. I know we got our work cut out for us, but I think that between this show and the nights and all the works that we do behind the scenes, I think that slowly but surely the people will rise up and take the world back for themselves and, you know, leave the whole politician to the family itself, you know?
Yeah. No, we are fighting an epic war in silence, pretty much, aren't we?
I just wish
run around quietly and do what we do, and we get it done slowly.
I just wish I could clone myself so that I could, you know, one of me could be over there and the other one could be over there, and you know, just working everywhere, you know, just trying to get people to understand, to get it, to work together.
Yeah. Yep, I was always saying I wished I had a loud bullhorn that everybody on the planet could hear and just shout out some common sense all day long, every day. But, you know, I think that throwing the positive pebbles are actually starting to bear fruit, and we're seeing a lot of people come to the table and sharing their ideas and hopes and dreams as well.
Even on the home front, that'd be kind of fun to clone myself. Shaziz.
Uh-oh. Hey! Did I just say that on air?
Hey.
Well, that could be a... Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going there.
Anyway.
I meant that in a different way, but...
All right. Well,
now I know where your guys' dirty minds are heading.
I didn't say nothing.
Bev, neither of us thought anything dirty.
Yeah. Oh.
Anyway, we're coming down to the water.
Well, going on. Moving right along.
She's not watching her time very well, so...
I'm just having so much fun today and with this message, and it's a great message for everybody out there to hear, and I hope that people will take heed to the message and give it some thought about where they're at in their life right now and maybe how they could make some changes to make a more fruitful life for themselves.
Yeah, get out of the grocery cart unless you're going to let me in there to ride with you.
Get out of the grocery cart.
Hey, Cultus?
Yeah?
Do you have any mountains near you?
None of any decent.
Oh, we got some over
sand dunes.
We got some over here in the States. If I get us a grocery cart and a couple helmets and some pads, you want to go for a ride down the hill?
So long as it becomes a viral YouTube video, yeah.
We're gonna have to do a like a live Google Hangout kind of thing so people can see it. Oh man.
Well, it is about time to wrap up, folks. Cultus, is there anything else that you would like to share with us today, and some words of advice, or maybe an experience that you'd like to share from your own past, or anything like
make
that?
Make it quick, because we're like down to the wire.
Is relax. Look, just like I was saying before, you know, you give without expectation of receiving, and you will get back what you give out tenfold. If you sit there and expect it, though, you're going to get nothing.
Exactly.
So you just have to do it selflessly. You have to do it purely and simply just because you see a brother or a sister in need, and you just jump in their head first and you fix whatever part of their scenario you possibly can, and more so if you can, you know. And then, you know, good things are going to come back for you. And they're going to come back quicker than you thought, too, you know.
Yes, that has been my experience as well.
Every smile and every hand up given out by love makes the world a better place, one step at a time.
Yep. My personal experience recently is, you know, literally, I've, you know, given away a lot of things, and the whole trip to America that I've been planning for a fair while now has literally just fallen, clicked right into place, you know.
That's awesome.
And from nowhere, you know, like just literally from nowhere.
Well, when you and Shannon show up down here, we'll take you out and show you our world.
For sure. I'll take up that offer.
And we'll get a big shopping cart so we can all go.
All right. Well, I'll push, Bev.
You're so funny. Okay. Well, it's been lovely talking to you, Cultus, as always. Thank you for being on our show.
No worries.
It's time to wrap up today's show, so it's been a great message, an important message that all of us should think about. I hope all of you have enjoyed the message today and will take heed of what I've said. And so with all of that said, I'm going to roll up on out of here. Until next Saturday, same time, same place, may God bless each and every one of you. Much hugs and love.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing, but am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers that aren't here to find.